Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas, back at the helm, holding it down for the kitchen for sure. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch. We got y'all for the next 90 minutes or so. And, we're going to try and do as best as we can. I know NFL is king on this Sunday. I'm having a little technical difficulty right now, so excuse the intro. We will not have any music playing or the Sunday morning brunch, however you're usually used to hearing us get into here. But good morning. Let me start off the right way. Let me say good morning. Get everybody in here situated. The caller number is 917-889-9592. At least I was able to get everybody here that's here right now as my systems crashed. So I got a blank switchboard right now until everything gets back up and running. So I do have my brothers with me calling in from Michigan. I have Nostradamus, a.k.a. Chandler. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, since you didn't do the music, I'll do it for you. Good morning. Do-do-do-do. Something, something, something. Sunday brunch. Good morning.
My systems are crap. Look, my systems crap. Literally at the 3-minute mark, I'm like, please, why is this happening? I'm like, I gotta just try and freak this. I'm like, Ty, don't worry about it. You're a professional, you can do it, so I'll try. But Chandler knows what's going on, so that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so my brother got me pumped up a little bit. You know, I'm back. I feel like everything just crashed in front of me. And I also got my other brother down in the VA area, the U chef himself. Tommy B, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Feeling good. And I also like to say, I meant to say it yesterday and it slipped my mind, all prayers and thoughts out to ESPN's reporter, Chris Mortensen, fighting throat cancer. Get well. Can't wait to see you back. I grew up with you, so I can't wait till you get back.
Definitely, man. It's a lot of that stuff going on right now, man. I don't know where to begin as I get my systems back up. They're coming. Okay. I'm gonna go to the first game first and get, you know, breakdown and analyzation of the situation. First and foremost, Sports City, I'm feeling some type of way. I am. Because I was over. I didn't do a damn thing right yesterday. I was all over the place, including one fight. Okay, I got one fight right. At least Deontay came off with a win. But my friend Mark DeMori, the Australian boxer that I was talking about yesterday during the show, not only did he lose the fight, he got knocked out in the first round. So I'm actually pissed for him. And then a lot of people that follow him in Australia, like one of my friends was like, well, you were talking about him on the show, look at this, sent me a message about the link, because I didn't see the fight because, you know, I think the fight took place in England. So they sent me the link. I didn't see the fight, and I seen him get knocked out. So when I posted it, I'm like, yo, this just bothers me that Mark got knocked out. All of his friends from Australia was like, why would you post that? Like, that's sick that you would do that. So, you know, it's boxing. He was undefeated. They ain't expecting to lose. Mark ended up getting knocked out in the first round. But at least Deontay got a win. But, okay. So, outside of that, I was 1-for-3 all across the board. Terrible, terrible efforts on your boy Tyler. I feel bad. But first and foremost, the first game that took place yesterday, well, at least in the NFL playoffs, was the visiting Kansas City Chiefs coming into Foxborough up against the New England Patriots. Now, I don't know where to start or begin with this situation. I'm going to just do this as best as I can. I'll throw this one around the kitchen, see how everybody feel first. I'll go to you first, Tommy. Your thoughts on the game, you know, things in between the lines and moving forward for both teams, whether it's Kansas City, Andy Reid and company, or Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
It went the way I thought it would. I want to talk about something that first. I believe it was Edelman on the punt. That is just as vicious as the one that the Cincinnati linebacker, Bridges, or whatever, I can't remember what his name is. Does he get, does Elemaker get three games now? Because that's the sex same kind of hit. Does he go get fined and be suspended three games now?
Oh, you're talking about Amendola. You're talking about Amendola. I was thinking about Edelman. Amendola. Okay.
Oh, and whatever. They're all the same. They all run two, three hitches and everything else. That's all the Patriots do. Does he go get three games suspension now and fined? But of course not, because it's the New England Patriots. They run the NFL. They do and get what they want. The game by itself, it went the way I thought it would. I said it on yesterday's show. New England was going to win it. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Pat that said Kansas City is just like Kansas City. Andy Reid and Schottenheimer are the exact same people. Choke on big games. They find ways to lose. I mean, how do you not hurry up on the last drive that you had? You have to hurry up, get in the end zone, possibly have another chance if your defense can stop instead of kicking the onside kick. It just seemed like they had no urgency at all. Same typical Andy Reid and Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree, especially while you know, they had several different instances to try and score to at least cut that 14-point difference to 7, and they were methodically moving. But I don't think that was the end-all situation of what was going on in that game. I mean, they literally were getting into the red zone and couldn't get in there. New England did a great job defensively, and I think the only thing that was actually working well for them was Kelce and the manner of Alex Smith scrambling. I mean, other than that, and I can't wait to dig into it as best as I can. I'm going to go to Chandler as well on this situation, but I actually want to take a lot of the focus away from Tom Brady and company. I do. How about New England's defense? And I remember being right here in this kitchen in August where all of us questioned it. I mean, I was one that was like, you know, I was still thinking, you know, Belichick's still going to get the best out of his players. We were all talking about McCautry moving positions. They moved him back to the safety position after Belichick put him in the corner in preseason. He put him right back to safety to give him his strength. You know what I'm saying? But let's look at the defense. Let's look at the fact that Gerard Mayo went to the locker room. Chandler Jones was in a situation where he might not have been playing today. I mean, excuse me, yesterday, that you know, the situation that happened with him in Massachusetts and him using a legal drug or whatever and it getting the best of him, so on and so forth. These guys still came out and responded. The main reason why I was really pegging for Kansas City to win that game, I was like, there's too much going on in New England. There's too much going on with New England right now. I was like, you know, a lot of people have to get the better of Brady. And I really thought the way that the Kansas City defense was playing ball, I thought that they would get to Brady. You are not going to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots not getting to him. He was not sacked nor hurried. Brady, hold on. When the Giants beat him in those two Super Bowls, they were getting to him. The front four was beating that offensive line. Didn't matter. And they just got one. They got Vollmer back, one of the offensive linemen. But you send somebody. I'm sending a middle linebacker up the middle. Somebody got to come and get Brady. Brady don't move. You mean to tell me Brady had an 11-yard scramble too? Like he even had and right after he scored a touchdown. Like Brady was so comfortable in that game, it wasn't even funny. And I hate to use this guy, not to use hate as a word, but I dislike to use the guy, and Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator when he was with the Saints, when he said against the San Francisco 49ers, you got to get the head of the snake. The head of the snake is Tom Brady. If you think you're just going to drop back 5, drop back 6, drop back 7 and have 4 get to him, which in front four was doing this all season, but you know Belichick and them are prepared for that situation, and you're not getting to him, you got to try something different. you got to try something different. And I feel bad for Andy Reid because I respect Andy Reid. A lot of people don't like Andy Reid since he was in Philadelphia. He's not really successful. He's been to one Super Bowl when he was with the Eagles. He's been to five NFC Championship games while he was with Donovan, so on and so forth. I feel bad for Andy Reid because he went on an 11-game winning streak. Like he did as much work as he possibly could with his team, and it seemed like everything went flat. It looked like they went back to the 1-5 Chiefs that started this season. But I'm more or less focused on the defense that had that Kansas City Chiefs offense held the 13 points for a good portion, at least three-quarters of the game. But I'm going to dig more into this. I want to get Chandler involved. Chandler, your thoughts on the game, you know, any other, you know, stuff that we may have missed within this game as well.
Well, to answer Tommy's question, no, because Amendola isn't a repeat offender like Vontaze Burfict. I can't believe you started this show off by trying to defend Vontaze Burfict indirectly, and it's just so you can take shots at Patriots. Vontaze Burfict is a dirty player who's been fined multiple times for dangerous hits. So, no, that's not going to happen because Vontaze Burfict deserved exactly what he got. Now, as far as this game goes, you know, I'm not giving the Patriots defense any credit, Ty. I'm giving the Kansas City Chiefs play calling all the credit for the loss in this game. Their defensive play calling as well as their offensive play calling. They didn't bring any pressure like they did the last time. They didn't try to get to the quarterback like they did the last time. On offense, they didn't take any chances like they did the last time. They went into this game with the typical Andy Reid playoff game plan. This was why I picked against them the previous game. This was why, because this is what Andy Reid does. Listen, Andy Reid is a really good regular season coach. He's a great regular season coach. He's a great coach. You know, he's a good man. He tries to do right by his players, all of those things. Andy Reid's a choking dog in the playoffs, man. I'm sorry. He's a choking dog. The game you saw yesterday is why he's not the head coach at Philly anymore. It's exactly why. Because he suddenly becomes the most unimaginative, predictable coach in the playoffs that he's not in the regular season. This is not the team that was playing even the previous week. All of a sudden you're going to tell me that you can't. Listen, if you look at the last 3 minutes of that game, right, when Kansas City was on defense, all of a sudden, they started bringing pressure. All of a sudden, they started having guys around Tom Brady's feet. Now, there was a couple of passes that he made that guys should have tipped and all sorts of stuff. But if you look at what the defense did, suddenly they were getting pressure on Brady. Where was that play calling for the first, 60-minute game, the first 57 minutes of the game? Where was that? And that clock management? That clock management? Are you kidding me? Really? Really, Andy? I don't know what you're talking about. Why did you use timeouts? I don't know what you're talking about. I thought we did it. Really, you thought they did a good job, Andy? You cost your team the game, but you in the third quarter instead of the fourth quarter. The Patriots didn't do anything really well to win this game. All they really did was let the Kansas City Chiefs self-destruct. Bad play call after bad play call after bad play call. There's a lot of things they could have done. They chose not to do it. This ain't about New England. This is all about the failure of the Kansas City Chiefs coaching staff to try to do something to win this game.
Okay, I do have my systems up. We have calling the queue. If you're in the calling queue and the breakdown that I had or the crash, press 1 to let me know that you're ready to rock. I do have Aaron here. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, I'm good. It's such a pleasure to be back in the building. Well, shout out to everybody. I heard my man Chandler back there, Tommy Deans, was cracking play boy. Keep it good.
Just doing what we do on a Sunday morning. As you hear the back-and-forth discussion about what went down in the game, your thoughts on whether Kansas City, handed that game over? Did New England take the game from them? Anything in between this game that you saw differently from you know, whether that Kansas City defense slowed down and carried them on its 11-game winning streak, or, you know, the offense slowing down. I mean, there's so many different interesting things to look at within this game, but your touch on this game.
You know, the word that comes to mind for me is very vanilla. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been on this Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon, you know, at all. So I actually picked them to lose last week, and they got the win. And, you know, I want them to win this week because of my hatred and, you know, despise for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. But the game plan was very vanilla. Let's keep in mind, you went into the week knowing you were going to have Jeremy Maclin, you know, at 100%. You know, you only played him on third downs throughout the majority of the game until the second half where Andy Reid decided to pull. You know, so you knew going into the week that you were going to, you know, kind of be hamstrung with your passing as is. Again, you're playing with house money at this point. You know, trying to nail on the head, you did nothing surprising. Like, you're leading Russia? Where's your quarterback? You know, I mean, I understand the zone read, and Alex Smith has great IQ, and, you know, he's burned a bunch of defenses with that type of play calling, with that type of running before. But, again, this is a Bill Belichick coach defense. I mean, they've seen it, done it. You know, I mean, this is a team that is very familiar with each other. They're not division opponents, but they're very, very much familiar with each other. So, again, I think the word that comes to mind was very vanilla, you know. You know, people want to say, you know, Amendola's a dirty guy, this, that, and the third. I'm not going to get into all that. You know, no doubt he's going to hear something from the NFL about what happened in the game. But this game wasn't won or lost on the Amendola play. This game wasn't won or lost by the lucky ricochet that Tom Bailey, you know, should have caught at the end of the game, you know, when they were down 7. You know, this game wasn't won or lost by headsets going out or anything like that, you know, fans try to use to, you know, take away from the fact of what happened in between the lines. This game was won and lost in between the headsets and in between the ears of the Kansas City Chiefs players and the Kansas City Chiefs coaching staff. The New York Patriots didn't do anything to impress me. You know, you lock Gronkowski out wide, you know, in the red zone. Everybody in the building knew it was going to be a fade. You know, you just got to figure out who's going to pump and go or whatever. But 87's getting the ball. You know that. Common sense. Why didn't you stop that? You know, I mean, I'm not surprised. So having said all of that, you know, congrats to the Patriots for getting into the AFC Championship. But this is more about the Kansas City Chiefs than the New England Patriots, in my opinion.
I mean, okay, so like I said, I paid more into the defense of slowing and leave Alex Smith and them down because I was picking on Alex Smith before the season started, and he started out 1-5, and then they go on an 11-game winning streak. I started giving him credit, thinking that he was rebuilding himself up and trying to get to another conference championship game. Because don't forget, Alex Smith has been to a conference championship game before when he was with the San Francisco 49ers, when they lost to the New York Giants back in, what was that, 07, right? That was 2010. However, you know, just looking how timid they were in the red zone, so on and so forth, it was like he went back to trying to check down, and it was like, I can't even really say his name, Chet Kendrick West. You know, they tried to get him to save the day, and then once he got injured, it was really like they were, you know, picking that straw on who's going to try and carry the load out of the backfield. And Maclin being out, like they were actually, you know, getting puzzled as time went on within this game. But, you know, getting Edelman back. Edelman just came back. Edelman's been out for how many weeks? Since, what, week 7, week 8? He's been out for like 9 weeks. Comes back, 10 catches, 100 yards. Influential in the middle of the field. Then you got Gronk. It's like they really, all they have to do is get that offense to spread and have your defense on an island. Like, and of course, that's something that I feel a lot of people underrated about the Kansas City defense. Their secondary actually plays good defense. They played good defense, and it didn't look like they played well within this game. And, you know, I don't know whether it's the interesting players, whether it is Edelman and Gronk, because Amendola really didn't bring too much to the game. I mean, he's a piece, And LaFell was a no-show. Like, LaFell had no positive real play within this game. So, interesting stuff looking at this. Now, before I dig into another thing toward the game, is there anything that somebody may like to add toward this game? Oh, and I do have another caller as well, but anybody else?
Yeah, I never said that was a changer. It's the exact same kind of hit. But everybody wants to overlook it because it's not the crybaby Pittsburgh Steelers. They're a bunch of drama queens, and I'm going to get into that too.
The crybaby Pittsburgh Steelers. Before, let me get this straight. I'll let you take over in a minute. The crybaby Pittsburgh Steelers. So let me get this straight. Marcus Burfitt, since you want to go there, okay, has routinely been cited for not just hitting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Take the Steelers out of the equation. Did you see what he did the week prior to that against the Baltimore Ravens? Did you see that play? Your own squad. I don't think he did. So go ahead with this comedy Pittsburgh Steelers nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Vontaze Burfict is a dirty player. He has routinely been cited for being a dirty player. So I'm not sure what you're getting on that, but Ty, take over for our fighters, dude.
Okay. Now here's an interesting situation. Tommy, I understand where you're trying to go with the situation for Amendola, and here is how it was broken down, so I understand where frustration may come for people against the Patriots, and I understand where Amendola was trying to make the play. Amendola can block him. It was him leading with the crown of his helmet and going into him like that. He can't have a crackback block like that going toward the other end zone, and especially leading with the crown of his helmet. He can block that guy from not getting there. And he tried to hit him with his shoulder. Like if you see what happens, it's more or less his helmet gets there before his shoulder, but you can see he's trying to, like, kind of separate that. But he ended up jacking the dude up and the severity. And it's one of those boom-boom – it's a situation where it's a boom-boom play for the referee to make that call, you know. So I understand where you're going with it, but he can block him in that scenario. That's why the flag was thrown like that, because he led with the crown of his helmet. Now, let's be honest. Just like – you know, Siri just threw out there, just like Chandler said, name another infraction that Danny Amendola has had in his entire career in the NFL. Ever. And it's not even like on a punt return like Bill Belichick or the special teams coach. I can't even think of the special team coach, but whoever said, you know what, don't receive the punt, jack one of those dudes up at the goal line. That's a situation where he knew that could have been a touchback situation. That ball is going to head to the end zone, and they get the ball at the 20. You can't think that they drew this up like, oh, let's take one of these guys out right there. It's a vicious hit. This is a vicious sport. Like, back in the day, like in the 80s, 90s, do you think that the referees would have threw a flag on that? Like, this is the stuff that the foundation of football was built off of. And not to say, like, oh, we got to carry the 80s and 90s into the 2016, 2017 era, but just like I said, it's a boom-boom situation. If he would have blocked him with just his two hands and jacked him up with his two hands, nothing would have happened. And this would have been a different situation. So I understand where you're coming from. I understand where both, you know, Sirius and Chandler are coming from with this situation. I do have no... Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nacho. I just wanted to add one thing. But
go ahead, Nacho. Go ahead. I just let Nacho, he's in. Nacho, you're in, and welcome to the brunch. But go ahead, Chandler.
So, you know, it's funny because people that don't like the Steelers talk about, oh, because the crybaby Steelers. The reason that particular rule that he's talking about, the Amendola should get suspended for, is in place. It was legislated to penalize the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Hines Ward Pittsburgh Steelers. How many times did Hines Ward do that same crackback block on guys?
All the time.
What was it? Cincinnati? What was his last name? Was Rivers. Keith Rivers, I believe. After that hit, the NFL legislated that out because of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to now turn around and say, well, because it's Steelers, somebody got suspended. No, that rule is in place because of the Steelers, and it penalized the Steelers for a few years because they had to reteach their own players.
So not with the nonsense and talk about the games that happened. Vontaze Burfict is suspended. That was 2 weeks ago. We're done with the Bengals.
Okay, Nacho, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm done with all the teams, to be honest. But
Wait a minute, man.
I'm tired of everything.
Seriously, on a serious note,
thanks for letting me in. I'll go with Chandler. We're past that. The game yesterday with the Chiefs and the Patriots, honestly, I didn't see the live action of the play by Danny Amendola. So I only saw replays and slow-mos and things of that nature where it looks more vicious and it looks like he had time to do whatever. But, you know, it just to me, I'm not going to go either way and obviously not going to call him a dirty player. We all know in this league you're not a dirty player until you've done it multiple times. Just doing it once, it is what it is. Getting penalized, getting suspended, things of that nature. I think some people fail to realize that the punishments that are doled down are a part of the thought process that goes into punishment is, have you been punished before for the same thing? Just like any other guilty, non-guilty type of verdict in the courts, if you've done it before, the next time you do it, stealing or whatever, minor, it's going to be a bigger punishment next time. So I think the fact that Burfict has done it multiple times, that's why you have such a big three-game suspension and things of that nature. If this was his second or third time, it might be just the first game of next year. So the same thing with Danny. Pass. So, it really is a nothing. It's just a play, like Ty said, a bang-bang play. And the game overall, to reiterate, kind of is the blandness, but you really do have to – I really do want to give props to that New England Patriots offensive line. They are one of two offensive lines that came into yesterday with the biggest questions. Injuries, are they going to give up sacks? Not only because of the way they had been playing going into the game, but who they were facing, the front seven, the front four, Derek Johnson, Justin Houston, and the boys. They were able to get after quarterbacks. And the way that New England Patriots offensive line for the better part of 60 minutes was able to keep Tom Brady clean in that pocket, was able to do what they were able to do against the team in the Chiefs, I give them big props on that. And it actually it showed that they were prepared for the game and they were ready for the Chiefs to come in. I know that everyone's going to give the discredit to Andy Reid and the Chiefs for not being able to run an offense. Not being able to efficiently manage the clock there at the end of the half, not being able to do things that could potentially win you the game. Early in the game when you got to get things done, maybe you go for the juggler, maybe you go for a deep pass. There were times that I saw that it was really passive. It was really passive. It was just really just not an attack like an offense in the playoffs. I would have expected to see Alex Smith going out. I know he's the game manager, quote unquote, doesn't throw the ball down the field. I would have expected to see more early on just to get that defense a little weak in their knees or whatever. So I was thoroughly not impressed with the Chiefs, but the Patriots were able to take advantage of that and also, feed off of that. So big ups to the Patriots for doing what they do and pretty much game in and game out in the playoffs. It is astounding that they were able to overcome those things. But let's not forget the big addition of Julian Edelman and what he was able to bring back to the game. I think that really does help them out. We talk about Gronk. We talk about, you spread him out and use him one-on-one. Julian Edelman, he does a lot of the gritty work, the first downs and things of that nature. So I think that really did help them out in their offense and getting it down because as well as that secondary is playing, Julian Edelman's really hard to stop, especially when he's, in those short down distances, those slants, those big routes, whatever. That is, in those short ranges, he's almost unstoppable. He's extremely good at all that. So bringing him back definitely helped him out. So to me, The game, all in all, it wasn't on the edge of your seat like I thought it would be. I thought that defense, like I said, of Kansas City was able to get to Brady and make this a very interesting game. A la Ty's point, the 07, the 11 Giants, the way they were able to pressure him, the way they were able to get to him. Now, I never thought that Kansas City's offense was going to go in and light up the scoreboard. I never thought that Kansas City was going to go in there and put up 30, 35 points. But I thought for sure that defense was going to be able to cause turnovers, if not for some three and outs deep into their own red zone, and maybe flip the field position on them and give Kansas City a short field. With that, it's easier to score. But it just didn't happen the way I thought it would. And big ups to New England.
Now,
yes,
sir.
I have a question. Why is the Giants the team that gets the credit when, if you go back in history, it was the 08 Baltimore Ravens team with a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back. But it was a 08 Baltimore Ravens team that put that blueprint out there with Ray Lewis, the greatest linebacker to ever play the game, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed, the best safety to play the game, Landry. We had, I can't remember, I go on and on. That 08 Baltimore team, the one to put that blueprint out there first. Not the Giants.
Wait, Tommy, hold on. 2007 is before 2008. When Justin Tuck and Strahan were kicking, when they were kicking Tom Brady's tail, that was 2007. When Brady couldn't get the ball to Randy Moss, when Randy was basically, Randy had a catch before the fourth quarter, and that was the combo nobody could stop, with Brady to Moss. That's what everybody knew. like, what could that secondary do? They had Webster. They had no-namers in that secondary to deal with Moss, because just 3 weeks prior, Brady and Moss was kicking their tail, and they broke the record. 2007's Giants team put that blueprint out of getting pressure with that front four. Justin Tuck became a star getting the Brady several times. Strahan's career, etched in stone, winning a Super Bowl like that with his front four, him and Osi and Tuck. Like, they were just interchangeable. Whoever was getting to them was getting to them. They were doing that before Baltimore did that. They were doing that before Baltimore did that. Just saying. Okay, now, interesting enough, I know Chandler's here, so I'm not going to dig into it because I know we'll be here arguing again for another 30 minutes. I'm going to just say this. Ten. That is all I'm going to say is 10. And if you don't know what 10 is, I might as well just add the rest of it. Championship game appearances. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not digging any further. I just want to see how far they go. If they get back, if they're playing, and I already just lost one half of the situation that I already pegged out for the damn Super Bowl, so I'm going to get there right now. But if they are playing February 7th, then the kitchen will be on fire. I'm going to just tell you that right now. The kitchen will be on complete fire. But I'm going to just say for now, 10 appearances, that is these. Disgusting. Okay. The next matchup was Nacho. I don't know if you want to be here or not, but I don't know. It could get ugly. But here I go. Went against the entire panel. It was wrong. It going with Green Bay, and watching this game, just watching Arizona just kind of keep the door open. Let me say the score, 26-20. The score was 26-20. The Cardinals win in overtime. And then, me and Chandler were talking, right in the midst of the game, I'm like, Chandler, this dude is leaving the game wide open when they can't just, like, capitalize and put Green Bay out of the game. He's like, Ty, watch Green Bay slip back in this game and win it. I'm like, I feel it. Sure enough. Here goes Carson Palmer, throws a pick in the end zone. I'm like, wow. Like, how much air are you going to leave under the ball on a guy named Sam Shields? I'm a Hurricane fan, so I know a ton of Sam Shields' career. I know a ton. Picked him off right there. I'm like, now you leave the door open for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't even capitalize off of that situation. Here they go again. final drive, and literally looking at the clock situation, not even because Eric Ebron may have said it, you know, and so many other people saying it, I said, watch this come down to a late touchdown with like a minute left on the clock. I didn't think it was going to come down to seconds. I didn't think it. Here go Aaron Rodgers again to an unusual suspect in Janis. And Janis beat, and this is something that I hold against Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson is not a great cover corner. He's good. He's good. He's not great. A lot of people give him a ton of credit. He's good. He has great speed. He can close on people, so on and so forth. Why are people – I don't understand this, and this may be me personally looking at this. Why are you guys behind the receiver? On a Hail Mary, and that was actually like a legit pass, like even though a lot of people were calling it a Hail Mary, but there was only one receiver he was going to. There wasn't no four people attempting to jump for the pass. Peterson and the other secondary player are behind them. Janis makes the grab of the night, touchdown. And these guys are leaving this guy wide open. Like, Janis had two critical catches, and they're leaving him open. What's up with the secondary, like, in Arizona? Funny that this is what Green Bay needed to go to overtime. They needed that to go to OT. But nevertheless, you know, how the game ended, you know, a genuine guy, and I seen him his whole career, I mean, even before he got to the NFL, because this is when Miami's after us, but we still played Pittsburgh, going up against the Pittsburgh Panthers, and this was when Larry Fitzgerald was the jump ball king, and oh, he followed Randy Moss ever since Randy was in Minnesota, and they would put three people on him. Well, how the hell, oh yeah, that's right, Green Bay, I'm using it. How the hell do you leave Larry Fitzgerald by himself to leave Clay Matthews chasing after him? Why, how is Fitzgerald by himself? Like, who lose track of an all-pro receiver? I understand he's been in the game for a while. I understand he's been in the league for a while. I don't care. He can receive the ball. He can make a difference. He can move the chains. You guys left him open. 75 yards later, he's scampering, stiff-arming dudes, getting all the way downfield. Ridiculous. Like, heart in my chest. What made me think of him running like that was against the Steelers, and it's serious, you know, ain't here right now, but when he had that touchdown catch against the Steelers, I thought the Cardinals was going to win that game up against the Steelers, and then Ben had that drive and won the Super Bowl, so on and so forth. But just watching Fitzgerald do all of that, and they try to force him the ball, jump ball on the outside, Carson almost threw that ball away right there. It's like, wait, hold on now. What's going on? And then they gave him the shovel pass, he ends the game. Now, so many different instances in this game. I give a good amount of credit to Arians in the way that he continued to send pressure at Rodgers, but they couldn't really sack him. They got one sack on him, but Rodgers did. If it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, I wonder where this Packers team would have been. Lacy finally showed up. Lacy had a 61-yard scamper. He shouldn't have got caught because he started jogging until he finally looked left and figured out somebody was chasing him. It's so many different things to look at right now. Mississippi, you know you're going last on this situation because I'm going to leave the stage open for you. Chandler, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on this game. The Cardinals are advancing to another NFC championship game. Your thoughts on both sides of the ball, whether it's Green Bay or Arizona.
Well, you know what, man? This was just a great, great, great game. This is old school, you know, Steelers, Raiders, Houston Oilers, Raiders, Steelers, Cowboys, Niners. You know, this one of those old school, oh my God games, you know. The things that happened in this game are just ridiculous. You know, you go to the touchdown where it was tipped like 17 times and four guys had a shot at it. But then it got through anyway, okay, to Floyd, the touchdown that Floyd caught. There's no way that ball should have even made it to him, first of all, okay? Right. It should have even made it to him, and it did. You got Rodgers getting sacked. You got no timeouts. He throws two balls. The dude Janis on that drive had two catches for 100 yards and a touchdown.
101 with penalties.
On that drive. And then Larry Fitzgerald, the shame of his career,
is that he's only been in the playoffs twice. But when he gets in the playoffs, he is one of the greatest playoff performers in the history of the game. History of the game. Look at his numbers in the playoff games he's been in. This dude's a monster. He's like 800 years old, and he's running down the field. I mean, he's making people miss. He's cutting on the dirt. He's stiff-arming people. He's jumping over. He's jumping over rental cars. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not a Packer fan, okay? And when Rodgers, when Janis caught that ball, I jumped up like, that's a fucking touch. I lost my mind. Okay? You had coins that didn't flip. Listen, the referee said, what, the coin didn't flip. What the hell you mean the coin didn't flip? The coin didn't flip. You had, literally, you had stuff in this game, man, that we will never see again. How many times are you going to see a coin flip when a coin refused to, the coin just refused to flip? Like, nah, I'm not flipping, man. It's heads. Let's get this over with. I'm tired. He flipped it again. It was still heads. You know, his was unbelievable. Listen, and I know I had no dog in that fight. Otherwise, I might feel differently. But even if I had, I think at the end of that game, I would just be like, you know what, man? It was a great game anyway. You know, that's one of those games where I think even if you're a fan of the team that lost, you have to be like, you know what? You can watch that because you know they're going to be showing that game a lot on NFL Network. That's when you can sit down and watch and be like, yeah, I know what's going to happen, but damn, this is a good game. I really have no criticisms of either team. Yeah, this plays guys could have made and all that. And Sam, who's the cornerback for Green Bay that dropped two interceptions? That put two in the
I think that was Shields.
Sam Shields, and he dropped three.
Thank you.
You sure that was Shields or was it Hayward?
No, it was Shields.
Shields put one on the ground.
I couldn't remember who it was. Thank you, Nacho. But now that would be like the only criticism I have, because if he catches that interception, Green Bay wins this game. But outside of that, man, you know what? This was the football gods making up for the three trash games we had to watch prior to this, okay? This is them making up for the three terrible games we had to watch, because this was by far the best game of this season, much less these playoffs.
Tommy, your thoughts on this game? Ups and downs, lefts and rights, hooks, jabs, uppercuts, I mean everything within this game. Your thoughts on the Cardinals coming back, well, not even coming back, but we're standing a crazy touchdown by Green Bay and closing the door before Rodgers could get back on the field.
All credit to Green Bay. I really didn't think it'd be this close. And as the game played on and played on, I was thinking Carson Palmer is going to play Carson Palmer and choke again in the playoffs. Then the ball flipped and ended up in Foyt's, and they went ahead, and I'm thinking, well, there's his luck. He got it. He won it. Then they turn around like Green Bay, and I'm like, wow. Overall, I thought Green Bay's defense looks better with Shields in there. They seem to be able to put they blitz more, it seemed like, than when they when Shields wasn't in there. They just, I don't know, it just seemed like they had more, I mean, it was just Peppers seemed to play better. We actually had a sighting for Julius Peppers. Lane Fitzgerald's a beast. I said that, and everybody knows I can't stand anything in Pittsburgh. But Lane Fitzgerald's a beast. I mean, I remember watching him in college. And the only thing I can say is Green Bay couldn't think there was something up at the end of the game when Fitzgerald was lined up and might as well say like a running back. I mean, somebody had to think Fitzgerald's something. I mean, that just seemed weird. But otherwise, it was a good ball game.
I think, one, he was lined up in the slot, and two, you can't be prepared for that situation because the motion of the way that that offense after Carson called Hike, you thinking that he's running option, and they're trying to get to the corner. You're doing everything, and all, like, when you see the replay of it, because you really can't tell the motion, but you could tell the motion that he's going, that the shovel is coming. When he gave Larry the ball, all you see is Cardinals in the middle of there was nobody there. They were great call. Bruce Arians, probably one of the best calls that I've ever seen in postseason history for a five-yard pass, and that's a pass. That's more or less to me. I mean, they call it a shovel pass, but I feel like it's a run. The best call he could have ever made right there. Like I tip my hat to him, and knowing Green Bay wasn't ready for it, knowing that they got Clay Matthews as their chess piece and trying to move him all over the field, he couldn't make that play. So, I mean, one, let alone knowing how dangerous Larry Fitzgerald's been his entire career. Two, just like Chandler said, every time he's in the postseason, he makes a difference. He's a difference maker. It's not like you can't account for him. Or, you know what, we're going to drop everybody back and worry about John Brown and worry about Floyd. Even though those two are monsters, like, in their own, you know, respect to the game, you still have to worry about them, but you can't forget about number 11. I don't care what is happening. I don't care what is happening. And this is – this is one of the, how do I say it, oh God, one of the, I don't even want to really say positions, but one of the players that you really can't look at, I mean, you can't forget or can't account for, and this is why I really like Keyshawn Johnson when Keyshawn was playing ball, and that's a possession receiver. Possession receivers can continue the game no matter what. You cannot sit up here and say we're not going to worry about him right now. We can't. Don't worry about him. Are you serious? And Carson Palmer got away from that pressure and made that pass, throwing a pass across his chest, knowing that is, no pun intended, knowing that's a cardinal sin, knowing that's a cardinal sin to throw across his chest and nobody was there. The only person was there was Clay Matthews, about 8 yards behind Fitzgerald, trying to track him down. Once Larry seen a defense trying to run to him to the sideline, cut across field. Now it's a game. Now he races for the pay dirt. He stiffs on about two dudes. Juked another dude. I was like, yo, if he gets to the end zone and get an 80-yard touchdown off the jump, I'm jumping out of my skin. If they tackled him at the five, I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? They went right back to him, so I thought jump ball. I'm like, what? I looked at the TV. I'm like, Aaron, you about to lose the game. And then they went right back. Three straight plays of Fitzgerald. Let me just tell you, three straight plays of Fitzgerald. Two for three, and two of them were. And the third play was the game ender at the end of the day. I mean, stunning stuff. Just like Chandler said, I'm not going to lie, I really felt like this could have been before the game. I thought that this was a situation where Aaron Rodgers could have really built off of that Hail Mary situation that he got in Detroit, got his mojo, be in front of a Peyton Manning situation and have the sheriff go at it with number 12. And I'm already down one team, so hopefully Pittsburgh don't mess up everything for me, because if so, I'm not calling it no more. I'm done, because I really feel some type of way, especially Pittsburgh without Antonio Brown and all of their running backs. I mean, they're down to the third, fourth, and fifth string running back. But I saved the best for last in the situation, knowing that he resides right in Chandler, Arizona. Mr. Silver, I mean, I don't know what to do or say right now, man. And knowing you there, I know you probably were at a party with all of your people, and I know the majority of people there are probably Cardinals fans. And knowing you probably seen that Hail Mary, probably screaming at everybody. And you know, I can just imagine the roller coaster of emotion, because I know I'd have probably been throwing up at the end of the day. But, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Your turn here at the brunch.
You know, Tommy hit it. The defense actually played well, really well, better than they had all most of the year with Sam Shields in today. You know, it's funny. I hear this name Julius Peppers like he don't do nothing. While he's the leading sack on the team and one of the – he's got the second most tackles on the defensive line. But, you know, he never shows up. Other than that, you know, just – the thing about this game is, it was fun. Like Chandler said, it was just a great game to watch, back and forth. You know, yesterday I came in and I picked the Cardinals. I thought it would be a good game, but I thought the Cardinals had too much. for us to combat with, being the Packers, and I thought they would run away with it late there in the third or fourth. Yesterday during the game, when the game started, the way that we were able to do what we've done all year, which is not allowing opening drive touchdown, the only team to do that all year, it was kind of settling to me, knowing that we weren't going to just let them run roughshod over us, because my biggest fear was giving them the ball first, which we did, and having them run 80 yards down the field, pass 80 yards down the field, and get a touchdown off the bat. That was one of the key things that I think this year has helped us out, is not letting teams come out and get a touchdown right away. Yesterday it helped us out a lot. The defense, the way that they were able to get pressure on Carson and kind of rattle him a little, he looked unsettled. He looked like a quarterback who had had a week off and was trying to get back into that rhythm he was just in. The fact that he actually almost had 2 weeks off, not playing very much into that Week 17 game, and the fact that, you know, they had the bye week, so there was very little continuity going into the game for the receivers, and him missing a couple receivers high. I think Larry Fitzgerald early, a sure touchdown to David Johnson there before. I think it was an interception, or they might have gotten three there. I can't remember exactly what happened after the high air ball, but it's just, you know, the game was just so amazing to watch as a fan, you know, sitting there. We're down most of the game. To get that touchdown there in the third quarter, go up 13-7, watch them go back down, and it was a crazy thing. It was super crazy. I think the biggest failure I can take out of the whole game would be the guy I just commended for making our defense better, which is Sam Shields. We chose you over Devon House and Tremont Williams. We chose to let those guys walk and to keep you and make our starting corner. And in big games and in the playoff situations, you have to make big plays. The rookie Randall, he made a big play. The floating throw of Carson Palmer, interception by a rookie. He's making big plays. HaHa Clinton Dix, the safety. The things that those guys, those young guys were doing, and I know HaHa last year had the big faux pas in the Seahawks game on the 2-point conversion. I was extremely ecstatic the way he played this playoff game. Against a tough offense, he was all over the field. I know Micah Hyde fighting through injuries, so the defense to me just played lights out. And if you can tell me right now at the end of 60 minutes, you were to hold the Arizona Cardinals to 20 points, and through 2.5 quarters, they had 100 yards total offense with Aaron Rodgers, I would have thought we were winning that game by 14. The fact that there was no Randall Cobb, the fact that we were running with two, three, fours, receivers, it just did not help. the advantage that Randall Cobb was giving us the past 3 or 4 weeks, even though it didn't equate to wins, the offense was able to relieve and get some relief with him in the backfield. I know it doesn't make sense to throw a wide receiver as a running back, but his talent is that of such that he was gaining yards. He was doing things of that nature, and then you can spread him out. So him being gone and for us to be able to do that offensively, to be able to keep up and I just thought it should have been a way different game. The fact that our offense was so deficient in receivers, people still couldn't get open, it took two hell of a throws at the end of the game, and two great catches, we talk about great catches and the catch that never was. Randall Cobb's catch at the beginning of the game for what I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, 70 yards total. It was a beautiful one-arm catch that he didn't get credit for because of a double offsides penalty, losing him on that play. So, you know, he gets that catch, and losing him on that play, we still get it. So who knows what could have happened with the turn of events. It's just a great game all around. It's exciting. There's so much you can really take out of the game and go with and put it to this and put it to that. But I'll just end it at this and how I feel the end of the game should have gone. Overtime should not have happened. To me, I know, obviously, I'm not a head coach, and this is probably why I'm not a head coach, but to me, you're in Arizona, you just scored a touchdown, and you just got two of the luckiest Hail Marys. You could put luck into it with skill. It's everything combined, all into those two plays. You go for two. You go for two. You go for the game winner, and you walk out of there. Because there's no doubt in my mind, number 12 is going to get 2 yards. There's no doubt in my mind, number 12 is going to get us 2 points. And we're standing here today, 21-20, with a last-second Hail Mary victory and a two-point conversion to go to play NFC Championship game. That's the only thing I can say about the game. That's the only decision, like I think it was Tyre Tommy. I can't really go on either team and say you should have done this, you should have done that. The only thing to me was the last play of the game. I put the ball in number 12, and I know Mason Crosby hasn't missed all year. I wasn't worried about a shank, but I put the ball in number 12's hands to win the game at the end there.
I think it's critical right there that they would have gone for the tie. They had to have gone for the tie because, just like you said, that is a game-changing call right there, depending on what the coach may call. McCarthy went safe, and do you blame him for that? Do you blame him for going for the extra point and tying that up and seeing what they could do in overtime? Nobody can anticipate Fitzgerald being wide open for a 75-yard pass that literally should have had, at least 15 yards to it. He turned a 15-yard catch to a bomb. Nobody anticipated that. That all happens within the essence of the game. But go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts, and then I'm going to get to the two matches today.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I can blame him for that because it just – you don't have good luck in this stadium. This is a team that's undefeated. And even through should have been a momentum swing. That stadium should have been quiet. It was still rocking, roaring. Everyone in red was up. Everyone in red was going. It really, no one lost faith in there. You dagger them with number 12 staying on the field. That's the only thing I go with that. Maybe if you had quieted that crowd and you had made it, deafening in there to where you can hear everything and it doesn't feel like a playoff game because you just suck the life out of it, then, yeah, you go to overtime and you take it there. But there, even with that, I didn't even feel the momentum shift. You even after two Hail Marys, you would think that I could feel the momentum shift watching the game. It didn't feel like it. It felt like Arizona still had all the cards. That's why. Maybe I'm wrong 100%, but just to me, you go for two, you go for the win. It's playoff football.
I thought Larry Fitzgerald should have been on the field for that last play. You called that timeout for that Hail Mary. You knew he was going to throw that Hail Mary. I had to put him at the goal line in the middle of where he could get to either side. And you told him, you do not let the receiver, you stay in front of the receiver.
And to be honest, that was actually a straight shot play. There was no four guys running to the end zone at the same place. Rodgers got away, eluded the pressure, and made that throw. That was a tough play in general for Larry to be ready for. But, you had a safety there. You had your best corner, which i.e. is supposed to be one of the best corners in the game, which I challenge now. His name is great in the game, but he gets torched by a lot of receivers. A lot of receivers get them a hell of a time in the NFL. Let alone this was Janice. There picture of Jordan Nelson was there, and Randall Cobb was there. Devontae, they all were healthy. This dude would be happy. He'd have his hands full. This is their fourth or fifth option, and then he got the touchdown. You got to be ready for that stuff. And playing behind him, you even had to hear what he told Deion after the game. He told Deion, I don't know where I was either. He said, I didn't know how to play that. Are you serious?
Jesus.
Are you serious? Patrick Peterson, you are an all-pro corner. You made the Pro Bowl almost every season, and you didn't know what to do or where to play the ball. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I'll try again. Try that on somebody else. Try that on somebody else. Okay.
And you know, sorry to get off this real quick. Just you're right about the pass and how to play it, but, again, Aaron Rodgers, look at the first one against the Detroit Lions. Everyone can talk about the length of how far it went. They talked about how high it went and how much it gave players enough time because, what was it, Richard Rodgers turned around at like the 10 and was jogging backwards. The same situation here. The ball was in the air when Janis was at the 15. He had time to turn around and look for it. So, you know, you got to give credit to Aaron to get it up in the air so those guys can turn around and look for it. You know, bad play by the Cardinals and the Lions conjointly to play the balls, but, you know, to get it up in the air is the key, and for those guys to be able to turn around and get a position on it, like a center would to get a rebound. It was just, you know, and you're right, though. You can't be the number one and claim you're the best and let that happen to you. You end the game.
Anything else toward this game before we get away from it? Okay, that helped me. It'll start for the side of something. The call number is 917-889-9592. I don't know if I'll be able to get to it, but I'm going to just say this. The Warriors got blown out last night, and everybody played. No excuses. Even though I feel like they let the Pistons win because it was Ben Wallace retirement night, but they got blown out by the Pistons. The Pistons throttled them bad. In which Steph went for almost 40 and shot 50%, but they got killed last night. And knowing how big of a fan Draymond Green is of Ben Wallace, so on and so forth, I'll save it for another day. Maybe for the crossover, maybe tomorrow at the wrap-up, but we'll see. Now, the two games that we have today, first and foremost, we have the Seattle Seahawks coming to Carolina. You have the Legion of Boom and Cam Chancellor up against the Panthers and Cam Newton. Beast Mode is active. He is playing. So now we got that matchup between him and Luke Kuechly, which I'm not going to lie. Chandler may not like him. He's one of my favorite linebackers in the game. I'm a Luke Kuechly fan. I can't front because he's all over the field. He's one of those type of linebackers. I love that type of play. But you got that. You got a secondary that is stepping up now. The Legion of Boom is finally playing this type of ball up against a secondary that's been playing ball all season long in the Carolina Panthers secondary. I don't even know which matchup to look at. This is a great game. My popcorn is ready. I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup. Which matchups you're looking for within this game? Who do you like and why? So we could all be ready for the Monday wrap up on this one. Chandler, I'll go to you first. Seattle, Carolina. I just was there.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think Seattle's going to win the game. That's obvious. I think it's going to be a good game. I think that the Vikings, I think the Seahawks have been exposed in many ways with some things. Cam Chancellor is not the Cam Chancellor from last season. He is vulnerable. As far as I'm concerned, the matchup is Thomas Davis against Marshawn Lynch. The hell with Luke Kuechly. You know how I feel about Luke Kuechly. Can we please get Thomas Davis?
I know. That's why I said it. I know.
But the fact of the matter is, the Seahawks have one wide receiver. And for whatever reason, he has been beasting. Because they got Doug Baldwin and nobody else. And when all else fails, you know Russell Wilson's going to go to Doug Baldwin. Yet Doug Baldwin somehow gets open. So let's give him a little bit of credit because he is playing, and I'm not going to say he's playing out of his mind. He's been doing this for three seasons now. So can we start with he's only got Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin is a great receiver, and it's time he got some credit for that because if his name were Fitzgerald or Brown or Amendola or Edelman, he'd be getting some credit. So I think it's going to be a really good game. I think Carolina's going to win because I think Carolina has more weapons than Seattle does. Seattle basically has Baldwin and Lynch, and I think the Carolina defense
can kind of hold Lynch down. And I know Russell's gonna get his scrambles in and all that, but then that's negated by Cam, to me. So if I just look at it weapon for weapon, I think Carolina has more weapons because whether we like it or not, Ted Ginn's a weapon. Greg Olsen is a weapon. Okay, Carolina has more weapons offensively than Seattle does. So I think that's what it comes down to. I'm hoping that this game is as good as the last game we saw last night because we're starting to see kind of the cream of the crop teams start to play. But I think it's going to be a good game. It would not surprise me if Seattle won, to be quite honest with you, on a last-second field goal. But I'm putting my money on Carolina. I'm putting my money on Carolina's defense to keep Russell Wilson under 200 yards passing.
What about the kid Lockett? You don't respect the kid Lockett at the receiver position either?
Not yet as a receiver. As a returner, yes. He still has some deficiencies as a receiver. His route running isn't crisp. His route tree is very limited. So now next season, yeah. But right now, I think he's a guy. If you want to take him out of a game, you can because his route running isn't what it should be, so you can kind of get him off his marks, delay him, you know, put him a half step too soon, a half step too late kind of a thing. But I think a good defense can neutralize him. Next season, you won't be able to, but this season, yeah, I think you can still neutralize him.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on this game, what matchup you're watching for? I'm going to throw an interesting one out there. And Chandler, no, I'm going to ask you this first, Chandler, the interesting, and I want Nacho to break it down too. Which quarterback has more rushing yards, Cam or Russ? I'll go with you first, Chandler, then I'll throw everything back at Nacho also. But which quarterback do you think will run the ball better or more?
I think Russell will have more rushing yards because he's going to get more pressure. So I'm going to say Russell because of that, but that's not a good thing to me. I think the quarterback that has the most rushing yards is the team that loses.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts and perspectives toward this game and also the question on which quarterback will end up running the ball more because both of these guys know how to take off.
Ditto to what Chandler said with the caveat that Cam's going to have more touchdowns rushing. I think this game is going to go lopsided. The cold last week really played to Seattle's advantage on defense. They were able to slow up the rush, slow up the pass, and that Teddy Bridgewater, he is what he is. You know, we can stop pretending he's going to be the next greatest thing now. The thing is, the Seattle Seahawks, they're a good team who is just meeting a great / you know, elite team, however you want to put it. They're meeting a better team at their home. I think Seattle's going to keep it close there early. They're not a pushover. They're not a bum team that's coming in. They're not a Washington Redskins team that's going to come in or you know, AFC South team, Houston Texans, is going to come in and get ran over, so to speak. They're going to come in with their head held high, and they're going to play a tough fought game in that first half. But I think the second half, the Carolina Panthers are going to come out and do what they've done most of the year, which is offensively step up and do what they're supposed to do. There's a thing, an image running in my mind from a few years ago down there in Tuscaloosa with an Auburn player with a number 2 on his hat on his back running around that stadium, just quiet in the crowd with his hand, with his finger over his mouth, and just telling everyone to be quiet because he just shut them all up. He's not going to be able to tell everyone to shut up because he's at home today, but I feel that same thing will happen running around with a flag, dabbing before the game's over. I think Carolina wins this one handily, running away with it at the end. They're just a better team all around. Like I said, Seattle's no pushover. Marshawn Lynch is going to give them a little boost there at the beginning. But, you know, the absence of 2, 3, 4 receivers is going to be a problem. Doug Baldwin's going to get his catches. He's probably going to get a touchdown. But the absence of not having anyone else to help when the plays break down, or if they double team him on a play and no one else has the ability to get quite wide open. What's Russell going to do with it? I think he's going to more or less tuck it and run. And with those linebackers out there for Carolina, it's going to be hard to do that. So I'm going to go Carolina. I don't want to put a total score on it, but I think they win, you know, running away with it 10 points plus there at the end.
Okay. Tommy, your thoughts on this game, matchups that you're looking out for. Which quarterback do you think will end up running the ball or having more rushing yards within this game? Is it Cam or is it Russell? Have at it here at the Bunch.
This is hard for me to pick because I like Cam. That's Newton. I'm a big Cam Newton fan. I like this Seattle defense. Man, I think it'll be a defensive game. To answer your question, I think both quarterbacks rush for over 100 yards.
Wow.
I really do. I think both quarterbacks rush for over 100. Who runs for more, I'm not sure. I'll go with Seattle. I just have more, I'll go with Seattle. I'm not confident with that pick because, like Nacho says, that Cam Boyd, that down there in Tuscaloosa running, did that. I mean, they're doing good. It's hard for me to pick this one tonight.
It's hard for you to pick it. It's hard for me to pick it. I can't lie. I'm a fan of both quarterbacks. I like Russell Wilson. I like Cam. Marshawn is back, but I'm wondering, is this a beast or is this a shell of himself? Because he's been out for weeks. Marshawn has not been on the football field for weeks. I'm wondering if he can make a difference. And every time him and Luke go at it, Luke is in his face. Luke is always in his face stopping him. Marshawn never really is successful going up against Keekly. So that's an interesting matchup in itself. Taylor threw out Baldwin. Baldwin's going to have to deal with Norman. Norman has been a great corner all season long. Norman has been underneath everybody's skin, including Odell Beckham, which everybody's talking about how vicious that stuff went down. The quarterback that ends up with more rushing yards, I'm going to be honest, Cam Newton ends up with more rushing yards than Russell Wilson. And the reason why I say that is I think that Seattle's linebackers will be more occupied across the field dealing with what they have to deal with, whether dropping back or dealing with running backs out of the flat comparable to Russell. I think Russell is going to try and make a difference out of that backfield throwing the ball, even though he is going to end up taking off. And knowing that he's back in the area where everything began for his, you know, career when he was in North Carolina, so he's back in Carolina again. Just like Tommy said, I feel this is going to be a defensive game, so all of you out there in Vegas listening, under, unless something spooky happens, I really don't know if this is going to be one of those high-flying, high-scoring type of games. I highly doubt it, but I really think that this is going to be one of those games that total could be under 41 or 40, however you may look at it like that. This is tough. This is tough, and Seattle clicked and got hot at the right time, even though they just got away from Minnesota about it. You know, the skin of their teeth by a missed kick that a lot of people basically forgot about. You know, a lot of people are basically letting Russell, not to say they're letting them off the hook, but nobody's really talking about that situation, and that basically what blew it for Minnesota. And Carolina, I mean, they had a week off, they got rest, but, you know, sometimes that rest don't really help you. You know, you need to be out there and kind of be in game form, if you will. And not to say Carolina's not ready for the call, not like the Bank of America Stadium ain't going to be rocking, so on and so forth. This is a tough one. This is a tough game to call. I'm going off of family love. I'm going to do it like this. One of my sisters is a Patriot fan, and they're twins, mind you. One of them is a Patriot fan. The other one is a Panther fan. So I'm going to go with her. I'm going to go with the Panthers at home to take care of business. And the real reason why I'm going with the Panthers is their quarterback coach is one of my favorite quarterbacks out of Miami history. Things that make you go hmm. If you don't know who he is, look him up. Okay. The next matchup we have here is the game of the day, Big Ben versus the Sheriff. Listen, y'all already know where I'm going before I even just start passing this one around the kitchen. I'm going Denver. I feel like everything is painted for Peyton. It's painted for him. Big Ben has to play without his top rusher or top couple of rushers. No Le'Veon Bell for the whole season. No D'Angelo. No Antonio Brown. This is just tough for Pittsburgh to try and overcome on the road in Colorado at that, up against one of the toughest defenses in the game, not just in the AFC, in Denver's defense. I'm going with Von Miller and those boys, DeMarcus Ware and company, to take care of business, to try and advance to an AFC championship, because everybody wants to see Brady versus Manning. You know the NFL need that money. They need that money. So I'm going with Denver at home before I start throwing this one around the kitchen. If Denver loses, my Super Bowl picks are done, squashed. You could just throw it all in the garbage. I'm going to just have to jump on another train for both of them. But let's throw this one around the kitchen, see how you guys feel about it. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on this game, matchups within matchups in this game. Who do you like and why?
I'll go Denver, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh won. I'll go Denver. I don't know why. I'm with you, kind of with you. It's painted for Peyton to win it. I said it all year. I thought Peyton was going to win the Super Bowl because it was the 50th anniversary and hoo-ah, hoo-ah, and then he'll just retire. It's just the way I'm going.
Mr. Silva, who are you liking this matchup and why? What matchups are you watching within this game? Have at it.
I mean, I'm going Denver, but it feels like, the only reason I'm going Denver is because Pittsburgh's hurt. I feel Pittsburgh comes in healthy. That offense, Big Ben comes in, and I think he can take care of Denver, and they can win. But the injuries, they're just too hard to overcome. 1-2 on your running back chart. 1-1B on your wide receiver chart when we talk about Antonio Brown and how much he really means to that receiving core, means to that offense. So you're losing in the equivalent of almost, three and a half, four players in that just alone. So I'm going to have to go with Denver because that defense, not for nothing, has been one of the best all year long. We always talk about defense wins championships. Defense wins playoff games. So I'm definitely going to go with the Denver Broncos and that defense stepping up. I don't expect a huge game from Peyton Manning, but something along the line of, similar to the Green Bay game. I think it was, 300 yards, I think it was 66% completion percentage and an interception, no touchdowns. I think maybe it's a touchdown and no interception, or maybe no touchdowns and no interceptions, because the run game, it's going to have to get going. But I think the main basis of the Broncos winning or losing this game doesn't even rest on Peyton Manning. It's on that defense. So I think that defense will carry them all the way to the Super Bowl. That's how good they are, and that's how good they've been playing. Let's just see what happens. But I think the injuries to Pittsburgh is what drew them in today. But I expect to see a good game, especially if they can get, meaning Pittsburgh, Martavis Bryant rolling. If he's rolling, he's getting some catches, he's out there doing his thing, it might end up being a nice little game going on and defensively against Pittsburgh, so we might have to see if Peyton can pull it off. So that's going to be interesting.
I'm going to say this, and I am a Roethlisberger fan. Ben, if you get out of Denver again, now this is the second time Ben has been out there. The first time Ben has been in Colorado in the playoffs, he won. They beat Denver, but it wasn't against Peyton. So if he can get out of Colorado beating Peyton with the injuries that he has and without a ton of his weapons, Ben, you up there with Brady right now in the league, like for real. For real. So I just had to get that out there. I had to get that out there. Okay, Mr. Knight, your thoughts on this game, matchups with the matchups that you're watching. Who do you like in this game and why?
Well, the last time Pittsburgh was in Denver for a playoff game, Tim Tebow won that game. You do remember that, right?
Are you sure of that one?
That's the last time Pittsburgh was in Denver for a playoff game. That was the Tim Tebow game. I'm positive.
I still remember when he was doing that. I still remember the playoff game when Ben was doing that that sheriff stuff when they won that playoff game and he was pulling the pistols out.
Taylor's right.
So the last one was what, 2011 or what was that, 2010?
I think so.
Thinking of the Flacco against them, against Denver.
No.
But the last time Pittsburgh was there, the last time was Tebow.
And that is okay. Why, unfortunately, I have to pick Denver. Listen, I think Pittsburgh should win this game. I think Pittsburgh has every advantage in this game. The biggest advantage Pittsburgh has is that Peyton Manning is starting the game. Peyton Manning is, and I'll be nice here, a pedestrian quarterback in the playoffs. He's never had a 300-yard passing game, so why would he start now? Seriously, why would he start now? He is a bum in the playoffs, plain and simple. I think that what happens is that the Denver running game and Brock Osweiler come in to save the day. I think Pittsburgh loses. If Peyton Manning plays the entire game, then Pittsburgh wins. Peyton Manning leaves this game for any reason and Osweiler comes in, Pittsburgh's losing this game. That's just how I feel about it. It's something about backup quarterbacks against the Steelers in Denver. They just have a bad time. But I mean, hell, look at them against A.J. McCarron. It's something about backup Steelers against quarterbacks. Backup quarterbacks against the Steelers. But I think Peyton Manning is going to be terrible. I think the Steelers' running game is going to be better than people think because I don't know if anybody was paying attention. That kid, Toussaint, is good. He's really good. He's really, really good. If you look at just his skill set, that kid is good. I'm not really worried about Antonio Brown not being there because I think Bryan and Whedon can be just as effective against that Denver overrated Denver Broncos secondary, that overrated Aqib Talib secondary. It's overrated. I think the Broncos as a whole are overrated, but there's something about backup quarterbacks against the Steelers in Denver. So as long as Peyton Manning stays in the game, I'm riding with the Steelers. The minute he leaves this game, probably third series of the second half, then Pittsburgh is done.
And you guys are correct. I stand correct. I'm old. I am officially old. The game that, okay, you guys are correct on that situation. It was 2011 in that game where they lost in overtime to pass to Demaryius Thomas. The game that I was talking about, people, this is bad. 2005, when Bear went crazy.
That was the
I'm
first
old.
Football, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm old. Okay, look, 10, 11 years, wow. 11 years flipped me like that was yesterday. I still remember that. I still remember him when he scored that touchdown and he pulled the pistols out of the shooter. I still remember being out there in Denver, but I forgot that game right there was in Denver with Demaryius caught that and Polamalu couldn't catch Demaryius Thomas. If his life depended on, but they back here again. I don't know what Tomlin could do, you know, with a bunch of these pieces missing. I know that, you know, Ben called out Brian as well and said that he has to be ready for these big chances and big-time games. This is where he has to step up. Him and Wheaton, those boys have to play ball, especially without Antonio Brown, which Antonio Brown does it all. And, again, like I said, I love possession receivers and, You're missing a speedster possession receiver in Antonio Brown. If Ben and company get it done, I mean, this is going to be one hell of a show Monday on the wrap-up. Believe me, I will be, you know, apologetic in calling out the Steelers, you know, because I basically said the Broncos should get it done. And their defense is top-notch. I really can't find too many pieces of what Pittsburgh is bringing to the table right now to find them successful on the road up against Peyton Manning with retirement, you know, dwelling on the mind. Okay, so I think we all went Denver on that game, correct?
Yeah,
everybody went Denver. Okay. I need plugs, closeouts, promos from everybody here in the kitchen. Nacho, I'll go with you first because I hear you on the road, so I'll get that out of the way first. Anything that you like to promote, I know this is a sad day for you, but, today's a new day. Today's a new day. You know what I'm saying? So I need a plug, closeout, shout-out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
You know, you're right. It's a sad day. Like every year, I get 24 hours in either celebration or in sadness after the last game of the season. You know, it's been a while since I've had to celebrate in happiness, but it is, you know, got to go about 8 o'clock tonight, then I'll get over it. We'll get on to next year, and we'll figure it out. The three things that made me happier than ever were the names you said earlier in this broadcast: Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. God willing, all healthy to start next season, and it should be a great year. Other than that, man, it was a great football season, and I'm just, you know, excited to be a fan of the game. Still got some more left, not my team, obviously, but more football left, and I'm excited to watch it. I love championship football, and I love Super Bowl. I love the Super Bowl like anyone else, so I'm excited to watch it. We brought up a point. I can't remember who brought it up. I think it was Chandler or Tommy about Belichick and Tom Brady, you know, winning it. It might have been Utah winning it on next Sunday and then going to the Super Bowl again. I think I, you know, might have mentioned it slightly jokingly. I'm all seriousness now. The way this generation doesn't really respect the old, the way that they really don't care. If Bill Belichick wins a fifth Super Bowl in 7 tries, it will no longer be the Lombardi Trophy. They will find a way to rename it the Bill Belichick Trophy, just because I feel that the NFL is corrupt, and this generation of anything will just do whatever just to appease who's out there. So, I really do feel that would happen. If not, it could be something that people will talk about in a serious light. But it really urges me that could be something out there. Other than that, man, it really was a fun show today. Thanks, guys. I'll be back in tomorrow, hopefully, talk about these two games today. It's just a great, great show. Can't say back-to-back anymore. Still saying go, Pat, go, like always. But it's just, like I said, 24 hours of sadness, and then moving on to next year like ever, getting ready for this draft. Hopefully we can get someone in it. Just a little preview because I know we'll be getting deep into it. But Green Bay Packers, Ezekiel Elliott, first round. That's who I want. We'll get more in depth into that and how that works out. I'm really excited. So NFL, keep going. You're doing a good thing. As it pertains to on the field, the game last night, the emotions that went through my body, and really what was 20 minutes live time. 20 minutes in total for what it felt like an eternity, starting 4th and 20 on the own, on our own 2, to taking it into overtime. It really was a tremendous, tremendous game and all in around, even being part of the losing fan base. It's something that I'll watch over and over again, even though I know that the Packers are going to lose. That's how amazing that game was. Again, thank you guys so much. Hopefully I talk to you tomorrow. If not, we'll be in Austin.
Listen, just because you said if not, I hope you're not driving to the Grand Canyon. Whatever you do, pull over right now. Pull over. It's not worth it. Okay, pull over. I've been out there. Don't go to the Grand Canyon. Listen, go somewhere else. Man, there's a lot of golf out there. I know about Arizona. There's golf courses. You can free your mind out there. Go to a driving range. Do something. Like don't go out there stressed out. Okay. Go to a golf range. Do something constructive. Like don't do nothing crazy. Okay.
I got you.
Okay. I'm just making sure, man. Just know that we love you here, okay? Just know that. We care for you.
I love y'all too, man. I don't know what I'd do without
y'all. I got you too. I understand. Because believe me, I seen that Hail Mary stuff too. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that Hail Mary stuff too. Okay. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Yeah. Good show, everybody. Hope to be able to get in this week, this coming week. It's busy for me with the three games. I got three games to coach this week. I had a lot of game planning. Hope for good games. If you're into the UFC tonight, or there's two good fights tonight in UFC, the main event with Dominic Cruz coming back and fighting Dillashaw, that might be a good fight. I'm hoping Dillashaw wins. And in March, there's a good fight. Holly Holmes defending her belt against Miesha Tate. I think that's a joke. But I guess it's money coming in for Holly Holmes because I think that's just a warm-up fight for her for July when she has to defend against Ronda Rousey. I do think Ronda wins that fight in July, and she will show why she's the baddest bitch on the planet. That's all.
I don't know. Chris Cyborg is still the baddest chick on the planet. I don't know no more. I don't know about Ronda no more. Chris, you find a chick better than Chris Cyborg. Chris Cyborg beat a girl badly last night. Badly.
Yeah, well,
badly.
Tell Cyborg to stop taking her steroids and everything and come on.
You really think they got steroids in the game? Like, stop. Come on. Okay. Fair enough. That's what's going to go. The girl takes steroids, man. Chandler, I need a plug, close off, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Well, since Naj and Nacho took all the time the other night, and you took your shot at my way.
Wait, hold on. No, I didn't take a shot at nobody. What did I do?
You took a shot at my Red Storm, and as I was saying before, you conveniently let them, like, talk for 20 minutes, so I got cut off. If you happy about beating a team full of freshmen, you go ahead and run with that win, okay?
Wait,
to tell them to keep talking. I don't know. So they just kept making stuff up with that.
Giants used to play in New York for all of you people under the age of 30.
Outside of that, man, it was one good game of football this weekend. Ty, I got a weird feeling about prop bets, so text me before the game starts. I just got a feeling. Tell me about some of these prop bets. I got a feeling. And here's how the Super Bowl is going to end. It's going to end with Roger Goodell having to hand the MVP trophy to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to take the trophy, not shake his hand, grab the mic and say, F you, Roger, I quit.
Wow! Yeah. Hey, look. So with that being said, you already got the Patriots tag to get back. Listen, okay. Let me just say this: if they get back to the doggone Super Bowl, I'm saving it. I'm not even going there. If the Patriots just get back there, it's gonna be hell in the kitchen. Believe me, it's gonna be hell. I'm already dealing with stuff. With everybody coming at me for the stuff that I've been posting. And Chandler already going at me for already using the best ever stuff. Believe me, we can fight in here, Chandler. We can fight. We can fight here. If he get back to the – well, this will be – if he does, it will be his seventh Super Bowl. Seven. Please. Oh, SportsCity7.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chats. We'll be back here tomorrow, Monday night. Sport wrapping it up, man. I'm clueless on where I want to go, man. I had stuff that I wanted to close out with. Chandler blaming me for not doing Nas close out, saying he do a movie review. I don't even know what these movies about to close out with. Like, shoot, I be trying to get some on too. Shoot, if I y'all even know, I do close outs. I get cut off by Tommy. I get cut off by Nas. I get cut off by Nas. Like, shoot, I feel like I probably got a free slate right now. Like, I feel like nobody's watching right now. Like, I feel good in the kitchen today, man. But thanks to everybody that came here, man. We had a little technical difficulty to start up the show. We didn't get that good old brunch music going, but I got it now. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, have a good Sunday with football, y'all. Now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours.